I know there are some good testimonies this morning because I've spoken to different people, and I might kick off this morning with a really fun one. Whoop, got to get the right page. I'm on the wrong page. On the wrong page. Obviously, get to the right page. No, I won't. I'll find it while somewhere. So, who has got a testimony they want to share this morning? Who's eager to get up and say, "This is what God's done for me this week"? Eileen, come on up. Oh, look at these hands coming out. Awesome. Eileen, come on. You got to come up and share what God's done.
I've got a lot of testimonies, actually. One to start. Okay. I think it's one of the names in the boxes that we prayed about. I had a few dreams recently, but I'm going to share one of the dreams. One of the dreams I dreamt is that it's about prayer, and I feel that it is a prophetic dream. I run this creative group. I think some of you know that on every Wednesday when I'm not working, I run this creative group, and a few ladies come and we do our crafts and things like that. And this lady, she used to go to my old church, and whenever I want to pray for her, she said, "Don't bother, I don't believe in God, and I don't believe prayer works," she said. But in the dream, she came into my dream with these two bags, and her back was towards me, and she sat down. And I was in a big hall talking to a couple of people. I don't really know who the people were in the dream, you know. And then she sat down, but in my spirit, I felt straight away that she came for prayer. So I said to the ladies, people I was with, I said, "This lady has come for prayer. Do you mind if we pray for her?" And they said, "That's fine, we'll pray for her." So we prayed for her in the dream. And then, well, I finished the whole dream in that. Lots of people started coming in for prayer, and I had lots of tables in this room. And outside, I had a big sign which says prayer, you know. But there were people wandering outside as well, not wanting to come in. But finally, they did come in, you know. So that was a dream. Well, this lady, the one, Elaine is her name, and she's on the box. I think I put it in there. And she had chest infection. She was ill quite a lot, you know. And she had a son and a daughter. Her daughter's married, but the son was looking for work and things like that. But coming towards Christmas, she had chest infection before. And her family, the daughter's family, wanted to come and spend Christmas with her. But she said, "I can't really do it. I'm actually too tired, you know, but can I have help?" But she felt the daughter didn't really understand. She didn't understand. And somehow the daughter got offended and wasn't happy with her. And then the son kind of didn't ask her, but took the daughter's side. So now she felt she's got nobody on her side. "I've got nobody on my side." And she was completely brokenhearted. And I think then I said, "You know, I'll pray for you." And she said, "Oh, don't bother praying. I don't believe it will work, you know." So then I went to Australia. And when I was in Australia, she sent me a text. She said, "I'm in hospital with water in my lungs." She said, "When are you coming back?" So I didn't reply because I felt it's probably expensive for me to reply this text. So I kind of left it. And then another lady in my creative group, she texted me as well. She said, "When are you coming back?" She said, "Elaine is in hospital and I want to go and visit her." So I felt I had to reply, and I said, "Well, I'm still in Australia. I'm not coming back yet." Then I got, and I replied to Elaine. And then Elaine said, "I've had vomiting and diarrhea now for 4 days, you know, and I've got no energy whatsoever." So I said, "Oh, I'll pray for you." And she said, "Oh, I could do with all the prayer I can get." She said, so that's pretty cool. Then when I came back, she went into hospital again, have a medication change, came out, and it was the bank holiday Monday, Easter, and I was suddenly free because my mother-in-law went home. So I said to two of my friends from my creative group, I said, "Well, let's go and see Elaine and have high tea with her." So I made this high tea and we went to her. But as soon as I walked into her house, it just stank of medication, and I just actually felt sick, you know. But she didn't have much to eat, and we were there for about 3 hours. Then we said, "Well, let's pray for you." And she said, "Okay, let's pray." So we prayed for her, and then my friends prayed as well. And one of my friends prayed that God would soften the children's heart, because she was actually heartbroken. She cried a lot. And the next day, she texted all of us and she said, "God's answered all your prayers." And then later on now, like one of the ladies said, "I've got this, some sort of test I need to go to. And I said, well, can you pray for her? And she said, oh, yeah, I'm really happy to pray for for this other lady. So that's it.
Very good. Well, one of the things about... oh, my gosh, look at the time. Never mind. Too bad. One of the things about testimonies is it's God's invitation for us to say, do it again. Do it again. If he's done it once, he can do it again. He's setting a precedent that he wants to do, and he wants to do this stuff again and again and again, and probably each time differently. Because the testimony is just an amazing way of pointing, of giving glory to Jesus and pointing to who he is. And that's why we need to listen and take them to heart. And I'll say a bit more about this in a minute, but testimonies are just great things to hear. And don't let that little voice say to you, oh, it's all right for them, it won't happen for me. Because that isn't God saying that. That is not the Holy Spirit saying that to you. So if it's not the Holy Spirit saying it to you, should you listen to it? Should you listen to it if it's not the Holy Spirit saying anything to you? No. There's a few not quite sure about that. But never mind. Praise the Lord. Who's got another testimony? We had Jennifer and someone else put a hand up over here before. Oh, my gosh, now they're all going up. We should probably just get a line. Just come and line up here. Jennifer, I think you were next.
I'll just have to go. Hello, everybody. Okay, so I got the email saying that there was a testimony Sunday this week. And I didn't know what to say, but I knew that I wanted to give a testimony because I don't usually get up and give it a testimony, even if I do have something to say. So then this morning I was just thinking, okay, God, so what testimony should I give? And then I remembered a few weeks ago when we went to the joint service in Maidenhead, and I was going home and I was really happy. It's been an amazing Sunday morning, had an awesome time at church, met loads of different people. And I came off the motorway at Junction 6. Yeah, Junction 6. And I think I entered the roundabout and was coming down through Tuns Lane. And I was in the right lane going to turn right, and there was another car in the left lane. And all of a sudden, he just decided to do a U-turn right in front of me, without even checking to see if I was coming. So then I went into him head on, and I was so shocked, and I was just like, oh my goodness. I was shaking. I don't usually shake. I was shaking, and all the cars around me were just looking at me and asking me if I was okay. And I was just looking at them and I was just like, uh-huh. And the way that the car sounded, I didn't even want to get out and look because I didn't want to see the damage that had been done, I thought. And then the car just decided to, instead of stopping, he just decided to look at me and carry on going. So that was a hit and run. Well, not really hit and run, but yeah, he ran. but luckily, I managed to get his registration plate. And I've never been in an accident before, so I don't know what to do when, you have an accident with someone. But the one thing I do know is to get their registration plate. So I was staring at his registration plate before he shot off. And thankfully, the car behind me was also looking at his registration plate, so he got his details as well. So I was just there, and people were going. I didn't know what to do. And the guy behind me was so nice. He got out and came to see if I was okay. He helped me to call the police because I didn't know what to do. I was just there. And thankfully, the police came, took all the details and everything, and the car wasn't actually damaged. There was a little bit of, scratches and stuff like that. But it wasn't damaged, so I didn't really have to, it didn't have to be written off, and I didn't have to go get anything major done. And I was fine, even after I finished shaking. So, yeah, I just wanted to say thank God and share my story with you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, that's nice when you hear this sickening crunch and there's nothing on you. You think, oh, my gosh, I hope the other... No, I probably shouldn't say that. How many of you here hope the other guy got smacked? Look at you. I did too. It occurred to me. Oh, I don't know whether that's good or bad or what. Never mind. Now, there was another two, I think, down in this group here. Come on. Oh, there's a hand. Oh, my gosh, these hands are going to. Oh, what? Come on, Peter. We'll go you next. And then I think, Jill, you had one. And then we'll go over to that side. What fun for everyone excited to come up with your testimony.
Thank you. I wrote some stuff down. Right. I was about to start with, wasn't it a great worship time last week? But, well, I think we've outdone that. That was... we had a great meeting last week, and I was hoping that God would come and zap me at the end, because it seemed to be happening. But nothing really happened, and I was rather disappointed, to put it mildly. But the next morning, Monday morning, I had a day's supply over in Maidenhead, and nice school, been there before, but I just didn't want to go. It was more than just Monday morning, I'd rather stay in bed. And I'm driving there, and I think, I really don't want to do this. And I wasn't quite sure why. But the closer I got, more and more I got the idea, you're not going to have to do this. You're just not going to have to do this. I thought, okay. Right, I got there. I was early, sat down at the front. Office people weren't there yet, so just waiting. And then the office people came up and opened the, whatever it is, the shutters, and looked at me. What are you doing here? I said, I'm year six. I'm here to cover year six class. Oh, we didn't think you were coming. We got somebody else. But I'll phone them and cancel them since you're here. I said, so I sort of sat there for a minute, and sort of Monday morning takes a while. And I thought, no, it's fine. It's fine. If you've got somebody else, I'm quite happy. Let's not disappoint them. Yes, I'm not really feeling up to it anyway. I'll go home. Which was amazing. So I thought, whole day at home, again. So got home, decided to have a prayer time in the morning, and part of that was to was praying for Britwell. And I often think of the deep darkness covers the earth and so forth, let your light shine. That way. So I was picturing Britwell, with all a blanket of cloud, darkness over it. And then, this is what it's like now, God. I want to see light in the middle of it. And I've done this before, and I sort of get this sort of circle of white in the middle. And I thought, that's what we need, breakthrough, open heaven, blah, blah, blah. And I'm praying this, and suddenly, right in the middle of that white bit, you know, which was not much, you know, it just burst into flame, just absolutely flame in the middle of it, burning red, which sort of knocked me silent. And I just got such a sense of the presence of God. I started laughing. Now, you know me, I'm sometimes quite solemn looking. You know? I laughed more that morning, on and off, than I have done for years, if ever, you know. I just couldn't stop. I mean, you know what it's like. You're laughing, you're praying, a bit of a sing. And then you go and do something else, and you just start laughing again. Yeah, and then you're making a cup of tea, and you're laughing again. I mean, all morning, in fact, most of the week. So for those people who ask me, have you had a good week? And I said earlier on, yes, I've had a very good week. And I'll tell you more about it later. This is my telling you more about it later. It's been a wonderful week. God has been so good to me. And those songs this morning about the darkness and so forth, I'm firmly of the belief. I saw it was great, but it was sort of like for me. But we are that fire. God is putting his fire in us, in Britwell, to go. And he's doing it not just so we have a great worship time like this morning, but because they need us out there. But so I'm taking that as a prophetic thing that all of us are going to be filled with that fire, and we're going to go out and drive back that darkness. It's going to be amazing.
I think we might follow that testimony up later towards the end of our time. And just, we might even do a fire tunnel. Are we ready for a fire tunnel? That just occurred to you. I thought like a fire tunnel would be fun, wouldn't it? Do you know what we call them in New Zealand? No, I won't tell you what we call them in New Zealand.
Yeah. The only one I haven't done is Corey. I've told everybody.
Oh, have you? Oh, Oh, you've told him. Okay. Yeah. He just had a whole bunch of words for people. But if he's given them all out, well, then that's fine.
Yeah, Barbara's not here.
Oh, and there's people not here. I'll give Corey.
Where's Corey? Oh, there he is. Hi, Corey. Had a lot of words for... And this one is... see what you think of this one. Because it's very short, yeah? I had, for other people, I've got a long bit and this and that. For you, all I got was a picture, okay, of a ram's head. The head of a ram.
A ram's head.
Yeah, a grown-up male lamb. looking very strong, big curly horns on the side. And I said, okay, what's that about? And I have no idea, but I'm giving it to you anyway. So come and tell me, I have no idea either. That's fine. I'll learn from that one. But, yeah, okay.
Come on. Very good. Very good. That was good. Who's ready for fire? Who wants fire? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Let's do a few more testimonies and we'll come back to the fire thing. Jill.
Hello. Hi. So, as long as I can ever remember, I've always had cold hands, like really cold. Summer, winter, however hot a place I'm in, my hands are always cold. And they always have been ever since I was a little girl. And that's okay, but I think in some way it's, without me realizing, it's held me back a little bit from believing that I have anointing to lay hands on people and see them get well. Okay, I'll tell the story. Because you know what it's like? If you go to healing conferences and seminars and stuff like that, and you know they'll do impartation, and often they'll say, so... You know, some of you right now, you're feeling your hands are really hot. You know, your hands are tingling and they're really hot. And, you know, that's God's, you know, that's the anointing. And, you know, you're going to... So all of that. And like, mine are just so cold. You know, my hands are just so cold. And sometimes I find when I pray and minister, they actually get colder than they were before. So it's like, oh, maybe I just don't... Blah. Anyway, so God has an amazing sense of humor, as I'm sure we all know. And I just want to tell you this. I just want to tell you this story in honor of my cold hands that God has given me. So I was in Slough last month in the high street and just talking to some people and prophesying over them and stuff like that. It was really cool. I was having a really good time. And then I walked past a shop. It was an eye, optician type shop. And a girl was outside of the shop handing out leaflets to come in and have a discounted eye test. So we just got talking about it, and she told me about her own eye issues, and they were really quite severe. She'd been in hospital and so on and so forth. So I said to her, could I pray for you about your eyes? And she said, well, you can pray for my hip, which I thought was kind of random because she hadn't told me that her hip was a problem. But anyway, so sure, yeah, I'll pray for your hip. What's going on? And she'd had a car accident 18 months previously where... She'd actually really badly injured her other hip and some other parts of her body. But the original site of the injury was a lot better. But because over the time, she'd compensated on the other side of her body, now this hip was in chronic pain every single day, all the time. So I said to her, okay, we're going to pray for your hip. And Jesus is just going to come and he's going to heal you. So I asked her, what scale of pain is your pain right now? If 10 is get me to the casualty unit and 0 is nothing, where are you on that? And she said 7. It's about 7 right now. So it was pretty bad. Okay, I'm going to pray. So I said, is it okay if I put my hand on you? So, you know, this was quite a cold day. She had fully clothed and stuff and coat and whatnot. So I put my hand over the place where she indicated it was really hurting. And began to pray, just really simple, commanding the pain to leave in Jesus' name. And so I said to her, okay, test it out. How are you? What's going on? And she said, wow. She said, this is just really bizarre. It's really bizarre. This is just so bizarre. I said, okay, cool. What's going on? And she said, it's like a three. She said it's a two. It's a two. And she didn't know any of this. She didn't have a grid for this stuff that we know. She said, no, it's a two. It's a two. And she said, do you know what? I feel like there's this ice pack inside my hip, like deep, deep down inside. And I thought, okay, I know my hands are cold, but they're not that cold. She said, I feel this ice pack deep inside of my hip. She said, it's just nowhere else in my body. It's just right there inside my hip. I said, okay, that's cool. That's heavenly ice pack that God's giving you to heal you. And so we're going to pray some more. So I put my hand on her and kept praying, and we're going to just get rid of all the pain. And then she just got up and she was jumping around, and she says, it's gone. It's gone. It's so bizarre. And I thought, you know, it really taught me something, because I had felt that was a boundary and a hindrance to me, because my hands aren't the kind of normal way that it's advertised that they should be for people that do healing stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I have cold hands. But actually, afterwards, I thought, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your hands are cold, hot. It's Jesus' power, and he came through it, and he healed her. And so, yeah, it was cool. I learned something that day. So thank you.
It's true. Freezing. Mind you, I'm told that most women's feet are cold too. Most married men know women's feet are cold. So, but I didn't know hands were, but it must be just jokes. Who needs a miracle in a hip or a joint or something this morning? Who needs a miracle in that? Any joint in the body, any joint. Would you like to pray for? Yeah, now. Do it now. Go for it now. Anyone else need a miracle in a hip joint? Oh, we got three, two? Well, any joint. We'll go for any joint because it was a joint. And we're putting Jill on the spot here. Anyway, so just, Sue, did you have one? She got a hernia. Well, that'll do. It's not quite a joint. Who wants to? Why don't you just start praying? Then we'll get on with the testimony. Praise the Lord. Go for it.
Hallelujah! We got some healing going on here. Praise the Lord. Not last week, but the week before, I did something really stupid to my shoulder. I have no idea what it was, and Ian prayed for me last Sunday. I went home and nothing. You know, wouldn't, you know, whatever. And I thought, stop this. You have been prayed for. That has been healed. Jesus healed you, so you shut up. You are not going to walk around in pain. I am declaring total, absolute healing, and you're going to stand there and take it until it gets better. And I'm not giving up. And hallelujah. My shoulder is healed. I wanted to say one more thing from what Julie was talking about earlier about praise. Praise is everything that she said, but it is also telling the truth about God. When you don't praise for your healing, you're telling a lie. You're siding with the devil, and you're saying exactly what he says to you about your healing. Oh, I'm not healed. I'm not going to get it. It's not going to come. It's, you know, for somebody else. It's not for me. When you start praising God, that's telling the truth about who he is, what he is, what he has done for you, what he will do for you, and how he is going to continue to carry you through. Very good.
And just keep declaring that truth about the fact that Jesus has taken our sickness and it's buried in the ground. When he rose, it didn't bring it back with him. So, and keep hanging on to that testimony. I mean that truth. It's true. Good word. I didn't pray for your shoulder at all. I just prayed for you. I whacked your shoulder with the microphone, but I didn't pray for you. Jay.
So normally I wouldn't do this, but I thought, no, I've got to do this. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. we were in the kitchen, and my husband, normally the girls would have a cup of like hot chocolate in the morning, not hot, but chocolate. So normally we'd put a little bit of hot water just to dissolve it, and then we'll put cold water or whatever, milk, whatever we want to put. So Shayi had this cup on the table, and he put the hot water and the hot chocolate. And my little girl, Hadassah, she just went right there and reached out and grabbed it, and it went all right on her face. And this was boiling hot water. And of course, we panicked. I panicked. He panicked. We did everything we thought we needed to do and all of that. But surprisingly, nothing. Absolutely nothing on her face. Not a red spot, not a patch, nothing. Thank you. And I thought this could be nothing but God. You know, boiling hot water on a baby's face, and there was nothing. She cried immediately, but after a few minutes, she kept quiet and everything was fine. So I thought, this is God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Are we having fun yet?
I wanted to say about something that happened throughout the service last week, because just had a different experience of God's power on me that I'd not had before. I know when we stand and everybody says, oh, you know, be prepared to receive, I'm like, there, yeah, okay. But my mind is going, oh, my life, they're coming over in a minute, pray for me, they're coming. And there's a little panic still going on the back. Last week that wasn't there, because we'd sung whatever songs we'd sung. Ian came over to pray, and I almost jumped out of my skin because I wasn't expecting you there. But then when I went on and prayed for people, and that was fine, then I got to the back, and I just felt a real sense of like a whirliness almost in my head, and my legs felt really shaky, and I just knew that God was doing something. And all I could do was hold onto a chair. I thought, that's it. That's where I shall stay. That's fine. I'm happy here. I'll just stay on my chair doing whatever. And then Ian tried to give the mic back to me, and I couldn't go up and get it. I couldn't say anything to him. So he's saying, like, you can't move. You can't move. And I'm going, no, but I can't say anything. But then he come and pray for me again. And I just felt an amazing sense of God all over me and all within me, that all I could do was go down on my knee. And I've not had that, like, that, just that total overpowering, full-on love experience of God. And it's just like, if you haven't had it, you need to go there, because it's just a really, really good place to go. And then it has an effect on other people around you, because it's like, you pray for somebody else afterwards, and then they can go, and then it's really good. Thank you.
Come here. Fill her up some more, Lord. Wait, come on, put your hand out.
You're
embarrassed by the same.
Yeah.
Get her, Lord.
So,
get
right, her. Yes, I'll go back.
You want to touch from the Lord right now? Get in touch. Light up the front. You want to touch from the Lord? Come up here. Well, we'll go after this. Well, sorry, who wants a touch from the Lord now? Just come on up. Come on up. And Dorothy's going to be terribly embarrassed by that, because we're going to get her to pray. We might even get Peter to pray for fire at the same time. Only two. I thought there were more hands than that went up. No one wants a touch from the Lord. Okay, just two. Well, two hungry people are up here. Let's go for it. my wife's hungry. Just go for it. Go for it. You start praying. Just whatever comes into here, just whack them, Lord. That's a good prayer. We'll keep on going with the testimony. Who else got another testimony? We can do this. I thought there was some more over this side. Weren't there more on this side? Yeah, you put your hand up. Andy put his hand up before. Did you have one?
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to... I forgot until yesterday that it was Testimony Sharing Sunday. And I thought yesterday, I feel like I should share something. So I thought I'd just share a bit about how God always provides, that you don't have to consider yourself some great person of faith or some great holy person. Just believe in God, even when it's hard. and he always comes through. I just thought I'd share a bit about how we came to Slough. And we moved to Slough from southeast London, and I thought I had a job lined up. So we came down on, I think it was the first Thursday of September, came and signed our tenancy contract, and thought, yeah, we're all in. And as we were on the train, about to get a train home, I got an email saying, oh, we can't offer you the position. So Eloise is actor and singer and dancer and works in that industry. So for her, she doesn't have like a full-time job, for example. So for me, I'm thinking, I want to make sure I have a consistent work I need to provide. And so in that sense, I was thinking, great, so we're moving into our house on Saturday, and I don't have a job. So I'm thinking, okay, God, well, we know that you want us to move to Slough. So what are you going to do? So I thought the next day, either I can kind of just be sad and think, oh, what's going to happen? Or I can be really proactive and just send out loads of CVs. So I did that. I just sent out loads of CVs. And when we were in Slough, we happened to go to Tesco, the big superstore, before we left. And we just thought, oh, we'll go in there. And I don't know what we did, buy some food or something. And there's an estate agent in there. And and it said something like administrator needed. I was like, ah, that's funny, but I don't need a job. And we love property programs. We love watching things like Homes Under the Hammer and like Place in the Sun and all that kind of stuff where people go and look at properties and like do over properties and things. So I thought, oh, look, that's funny, but yeah, I don't need a job. I've got one lined up. So by the time we got back to the train station, we realized that wasn't the case. And I just remembered, oh, there was a job advert, and I remembered what the email was. So I sent an email across, and I'd been working in a church in the past year. And before that, during uni, I was involved in church while I was at university as well. So that's all on my CV. So some of you have met Baz, who's been here a few times. And he got my email on his desk, and he thought, wow, I've been looking for someone. He'd had different issues with people in the past, with employing people. And he said, God, I want someone from outside of Slough. Like, I just don't want anyone from Slough anymore. I don't trust anyone from Slough. So just send me someone. And so he picked up my CV, and he saw I was a Christian, and he was a Christian as well. And he said, he called me about 2 hours later after I sent the email. I said, when can you come in? Like, when can you start? And I was like, okay, well, I haven't like quite moved to Slough yet, but I met him on the Monday, and we sat there, we were just talking, and we prayed, and he said, well, why don't we just like start now? So it's just amazing. You think, you know, if it's never too late, like God's never too late. He's always on time with things, and he never lets you down with anything. And I'd never been involved in anything to do with estate and lettings before. So it was a completely new start for me from September. And this is the other part of the testimony, which is that sometimes you don't necessarily know how long it's going to take for God to do what he's going to do, but you know that he's going to do something. You just have to wait. And we've been planting seeds for so long, just planting seeds, just doing what we need to do in the business. And I guess in a business element as well, just surrender it to God. Like, obviously, there's a financial element. There's all those things as well. But just give it over to God and do what you have to do, and he'll come through. And it's amazing now, because the work that we've been putting in, the seeds we've been sowing, the things we've been praying. It's funny, because people used to walk outside the branch in Tesco, and they didn't even know it existed. It's like there was a veil over it, and that they couldn't even see that it was there. Said, oh, is there an estate agency here? Like, we didn't even see it. And we've been praying and praying and praying, because we've had that effect. But it's starting to come off. And people are starting to come, and things are starting to happen. So, yeah, God's just being really faithful and doing amazing things. And, there'll be more. And the seeds are finally starting to sprout. So, good times.
Is anyone looking for work? Anyone looking for work? Andy, you need to pray for some people. You've shared a testimony. There's people. Go and stand at the back and let Andy pray for you. So do you want to just pop in, and then Andy can pray for you? Caleb's looking for work.
Right, I'll test it. Oh,
thank you. I'll make it short, two quick ones. The first one is so similar to Mary's. About 2-3 weeks ago, I started having a slight headache, and I was sneezing a little bit. And well, usually I'm just the kind of person who, when a headache comes on, I don't even really give it, you know, so much thought space. Just tell myself that all I need to do is sleep, wake up the next morning, and I'm perfectly okay. And then I woke up the next morning, was still sort of nagging. And I think we went to a store, and I saw quite a number of people sneezing. And, you know, I don't usually hold this kind of stuff, but over, and then I think I went to work as well, and, you know, some people in the office were sneezing and stuff. And I thought, oh, it's the flu season, maybe, and maybe it's just the onset of flu. And it came to me like two times. But then, just like Mary, I just thought to myself, the evening we went to Asda, I saw some guy sneezing again, and I thought, oh, maybe it's the onset of flu. And I thought, hold on. Even if it's flu season, I don't do flu season. I don't. It may be flu season, but we don't participate in that season. And I just thought, no, it's not going to happen to me. And the next day, I woke up, no more sneezing. The headache was gone. I was perfectly okay. The second one is about work. I want to thank God for the work I've been involved in, some what I'll call high-profile projects for the guys I work with. And this one I'm working on at the moment, when the opportunity came for someone to deliver that work, I didn't know anything about it, but when they said, would you like to do it? I thought, why not? Yes, I'd like to do it. And then I went out and got a book and just basically to teach myself. But in reading the book and, you know, watching video tutorials and stuff like that, yeah, I got some skills to deliver some part of the work, but then it came to the bit where I just couldn't figure anything out, and I just knew that I needed help. You know, I knew that I needed help. I obviously, for professional pride and stuff like that, I thought, I don't want to own up that I cannot do this, you know, that I need, that you need to get some more experienced people, some more, you know, some more qualified person in to come and do this. And I just started saying that I have, you know, I have unseen help, that I'm divinely aided, that I'm supernaturally assisted. I just started really reminding myself that the Holy Spirit is not just about me reading the Bible and understanding the Bible. Obviously, that's where it all stems from. But even in things like going into work and doing stuff, you know, and just delivering what I'm meant to deliver. And all of a sudden, like Andy said, just like a veil shifted. And I started to understand things that I didn't understand before. I started to see things I hadn't seen before. And it's just become a piece of cake, you know. I'm just really having a blast right now. And, you know, I mean, I go into meetings now 110% confident, not because I have now gone on a training, but because the Holy Spirit, I believe, has just really opened my eyes to see things. I'm in a whole different place now, 100% confident in meetings, you know, answering the questions that need answering, and moving the project forward, and I'm just so thankful for that.
We've got time for one more, because we do have to give time for Craig and people to unpack, and unfortunately it'd be nice if we could. So one more.
Eloise?
Hey everyone, it's sort of like a little word testimony, God's sense of humour kind of thing. It only just came to me. Andy said, you know, about work, and I didn't realise Ian was going to ask him to pray for people. And he said, who's looking for work? Go to Andy. And it took me about a minute, and then I thought, hang on, I'm looking for work. Why don't I go to my husband for prayer? And then it just occurred to me that we go to other people too much from that far away. There's amazing things. I know in Toronto, when I was back at my church in Lifespring in Reading, like 4 years ago, a girl went out there, and she was amazingly blessed, and that was great and exactly what she needed. But it wasn't what the whole church needed. The whole church didn't need to go to Toronto. It's not about, there's amazing places where God is moving and there's a revelation going on and he's touching people. But we don't have to go there. We can go to our husbands, to our wives, to our friends, to the church, the rest of the church. It doesn't have to be necessarily even always Ian and Sabina, just the person that lives closest to you. We live close to so many people, Mary in Sippenham. We can just go there. We don't have to make this massive venture and think, I will only get there if I go to an amazingly anointed place that everyone else is getting healing from. Like, I can get Andy to pray for me about my work. It didn't occur to me until Ian just said that. So, yeah, look to the people that are closest to you for help.
Very good. Very good. I think that's a good lead-in, isn't it? To some ministry time. Amen? Get the people closest to you to pray for you.